Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Hello there, you're welcome along. So it's Wednesday evening's Off the Ball. We have the new Ryder Cup captain, Padraig Harrington, on the show this evening. We've got Wednesday night rugby. It's a European bonanza weekend on all fronts. We'll have Stephen Ferris and Eddie O'Sullivan with us. The football show will include a chat with Tom English of the BBC over in Scotland. As we've got a proper old firm rivalry again, it seems. So we'll check in on how things are going at Celtic and Rangers. And then it seems, and I presume it's not going to happen, but then again, stupid things do happen. It seems Real Madrid may just be stupid enough to hire Jose Mourinho. We'll be checking in with Andy West. Kevin Kilbane is here. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Joe.
They wouldn't be that stupid, surely.
They would, yeah.
This has been going on for a while. Apparently, Eman Perez, the Florentino Perez, the what would he be, Joe? Is he the
president?
President, yeah. They have a great relationship. So, yeah, we've been hearing that for a good while.
Imagine the mood in Madrid. The sense of doom that
Jose
Mourinho is coming.
You remember what happened
back
with him and Ramos when he left the club anyway in Casillas? There was just a massive clash there, wasn't there? So I wouldn't imagine that Ramos would be too happy if that was the case.
I wouldn't have thought so. Richie McCormack is here in studio as well.
Joseph, you all right?
Yeah, very good. So Celtic Rangers, I won't lie, Kevin, we do get correspondence from the listeners sometimes who feel that we overlook the SPL, we overlook Celtic and we overlook Rangers.
Well, you've just called it the SPL for one, John. It's not called that anymore.
It's the Scottish Premiership. It's probably been that for 5 years, Joe, I'd say.
So
sloppy.
The SPL,
Jesus.
Kev.
Yeah.
The English Curling Premiership.
Yeah.
The league in Scotland. Look, I won't.
I always get told off when you're doing. Well, one thing a couple of years ago was always, it's not the Premiership, it's the Premier League.
Yeah.
So, you know, Joe, you've got to get it right. These are little things that mean a lot to people.
Tell you what, tell you a man who can't shake Premiership, who just can't let it go, is Roy Keane.
Yeah.
Just can't not call it the Premiership. I'd say Sky Sports tearing their hair at Roy. No, actually, no one would have said it to him, would they? No, we would never. Roy, it's not Premiership, it's Premier League.
Can you imagine a young...
I've won seven of them.
Can you imagine a runner going over to Roy? Sorry, I've just... The director's saying, if you could, in the next segment, if you could just... Not Premiership, Premier League. It would pay a lot for the rights. It's just... It's not me, it's coming from them.
It's
coming from them.
I appreciate, Mr. Keane, you've won about six of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I haven't won any. But if you could just not call it Premiership.
You know, thanks.
Would that be okay?
Did anything else I can get you before we come back?
No, what the best of doing, you get someone that's very innocent that just doesn't really know. You go, just go and tell him. Go and tell him in there.
Tell Mr. Keane.
Yeah.
He loves when you call him Paddy.
So, Scotland anyway. Look, I won't lie. I mean, the many things we have to try and get around to watching to do this job. The Scottish Football League tends to fall down on my list of things that I get a chance to watch. So, but you keep an eye. You watched the Old Firm game recently, which I'm told was not brilliant. Rangers beat Celtic by
It was as bad a performance from Celtic as I've seen in an Old Firm game in a long time.
As things stand, Celtic are on 42 points after 20 games. Rangers also on 42 points. They have played a game more. Are people going as so far as to say that this is a genuine title race?
Are we overlooking Kilmarnock and Aberdeen, Joe? Are we?
Kilmarnock 41 points, Aberdeen 39 points. Am I overlooking them?
Are Hearts still in the mix there now?
They're on 36. Their Hearts are 6 points off.
Yeah.
Okay, can we just talk Celtic Rangers for a moment?
Yeah, no, I'm just being
You're
bit
being
of
facetious, Jack.
I think it is.
Have Rangers gone way backwards or... Sorry, have Celtic gone way backwards or are Stephen Gerrard's Rangers
I think there's a bit of that. I think they have improved. Of course they have this season. A lot of signings have gone into Rangers, but... I don't think Celtic are playing the style of football they've been playing over the last few seasons. They're not at that level, no.
There are mumblings that Brendan Rodgers feels he's not being backed and maybe he wants out.
Yeah, that's the way it seems, though, doesn't it? I think you can tell that at the start of the season prior to the Champions League playoff.
He made a big issue of it in around then, that he wanted players in before the Champions League playoff. It didn't happen.
John McGinn, he was chasing hard.
They went out. I don't think McGinn was the only one.
Okay.
But this transfer window, they've given him two loan players. They've gone and signed the young Ivorian lad from Slovakia.
Yeah,
he's come in as well.
Oliver
Burke
yeah.
and Timothy Weah. So they've backed him to some degree. But what you're seeing happen to Celtic, my view of it would be, is the natural reaction of any team who's been at the top and pretty much unchallenged for the last 4 or 5 years, with Rangers being absent and then crawling their way back up the Scottish Premiership. When you've no significant challengers in the league, your own standards to some degree are going to slip back. And if you suddenly face a challenge out of nowhere, then you kind of almost don't have a squad that's best equipped to handle that.
That's right, Rich. But the challenge for Celtic every season is not necessarily the SPL, as Joe would say. It's not. It's Europe. It's Champions League.
Yeah.
It's about qualification for that. So if at the end of every season, it has to be, right, how are we going to qualify for the Champions League? That's got to be the thing that's underlined more than anything. And if they're not necessarily going in and saying, well, I'll tell you what, there's 10 million, there's 15 million. We know Celtic, it has to be a selling club. You develop from within. Look what they did with Dembele, and they developed him from Fulham, sold him on for big money. And that's, it's good business for Celtic. But if they're going to progress and become a Champions League club, which is what they see themselves as, and I mean, the size of the club, they probably should be. Mm. They need investment, and they need investment.
And why is the investment dried up?
Well, I don't know.
I doubt the turnover for a Scottish Premiership club is massive at the moment.
Yeah, we'll ask Tom English. He'll be on maybe around 9:15 or so. As for Stephen Gerrard, obviously he's done reasonably well, it would seem, and he's been backed. He's made signings. Anytime he pops up on my radar, he tends to be having a pretty good go at the players publicly. Mm. He's not afraid to do that.
No, I think so, yeah.
There was the Spartak Moscow game in the Europa League where they lost 4-3. He said, I think under-12s and under-13s can normally clear the ball with either foot. So I'm a bit confused over that goal. Mm. He said it was on players. And there was another one where he talked about how players have been given a chance and they hadn't performed and, you know, it's not good enough and we're just going to have to get new players in. Yeah. You know, he was fairly cutting. I think that was after a game.
He's probably fairly honest with the players. I think that's what it is. I don't really know Stephen Gerrard too well, but he come up in a culture at Liverpool that still had that old school element to it where if you're a youth team player coming through that system, I played against a lot of, I think it was Steve Highway who was the coach of Liverpool. It was very harsh on the players. If you were going to make it, you were in a harsh environment. And that's the environment that he was brought up in. So he's probably bringing an element of that coaching style to Rangers
maybe.
Now.
You don't always see it publicly, though. But you don't always see a manager criticise his
players. No.
He's done it with individuals as well. It's not just been a broadside of the players necessarily. Like Ovi Ejaria, who's come on loan, I think, from Liverpool. He's had a proper cut off him in the last couple of weeks, and he hasn't lived up to expectations at all. And as far as I know, he's not alone in terms of the players he singled out for a bit of criticism.
I was watching one of the few games I did watch was over maybe a week or two before Christmas, and the right back tried a big switch of play and completely hooked the ball. He was trying to go for a left winger, hooked the ball in between the left winger and the left back, and it rolled basically to the feet of Stephen Gerrard on the dugout, and he just lost it with the right back screaming across the pitch at him. That old cliche of the great player who can't quite hack the lesser player trying something, because it was a very Stephen Gerrard pass. The player tried, but he didn't stand there and say hard luck, keep it going. I mean, he flipped out at him.
Yeah,
now rightly so. It was the wrong choice of pass.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that type of pass, there's a high risk, isn't there?
You have to be Stephen Gerrard to do that pass.
Yeah, that's true. So it is right, but going back to the point is about them improving. They have improved, and I've not seen a lot of the games. I've seen the European matches, and they are a much improved side, definitely. And I think the level that they've got to now, we have a title race on, realistically, and that's something that's been seriously lacking up in Scotland.
That's what generates the interest. Yeah. I mean, for how long, for most of our childhoods, when you were listening on the radio or getting the results on TV, you got the Celtic result, and the first question you asked was, did Rangers win? And without that, you've been missing.
Yeah, that's true.
I
think it has to be beneficial for all that. Yeah, I grew up, I'm a huge Celtic fan, and essentially, I think you would always want that sort of
rivalry.
Yeah, you would. That's the way it is.
And Daz and Clonmel says, didn't Kev say he dreamed of playing for Celtic? Would young Kev still be aspiring to play for the club as it is now?
Probably. I don't know. I would be now as a kid. As a kid, if you did, you know, grew up, many think I was a Preston North End fan, but it wasn't my dream to play for Preston. The only one club I wanted to play for was Celtic as a kid. And I don't know. I think it's a different. The world's changed, hasn't it? The all sporting dynamics, for football dynamics, changed. Now we're in a different sort of environment. So no, I'd probably say no to that. Whether or not it was my dad and my uncles as well, who of course got me supporting Celtic. So playing for my school team in my Celtic shirt. So
is that right?
I was lucky, yeah.
The loss of Dembele was massive for Celtic, says somebody here as well. I guess that will hurt you. They haven't quite replaced him. Tom English, anyway, will fill us in on all the blanks and get your texts or questions in for Tom. He's on the way after 9:00. Padraig Harrington is going to join us in about 15 minutes' time. He's the new Ryder Cup captain, I'm sure you've seen, so it'll be good to check in with him. And then rugby after 8:00 with Eddie O'Sullivan and Stephen Ferris. We have lots of those games live, by the way, over the weekend. You'll certainly get live commentary of the Leinster game,
and Ulster's
followed by Ulster as well, and Jenny Murphy's at Connacht Sale as well. So updates From all the games across Saturday, Munster and Kingsholm on the Friday night, we won't be bringing you, but everything else coming to you across the Saturday. So let's get into the news round before we get to Padraig Harrington. Cork GAA officials have decided enough is enough.
Yeah, they've put forward an ambitious 5-year plan to improve the state of football in the county. Their plan is to have Cork competing as regular All-Ireland contenders at all age grades of inter-county football within 3 to 5 years. They're also seeking to improve support for the county's football sides and providing better ways with which fans can engage with the players. An overhaul of the Cork club competitions will also be implemented inside 3 years with the immediate reintroduction of automatic relegation at all levels. Cork are also looking to hire a high performance manager and a talent identification manager in an effort to achieve success and clear pathways through their setups. And Rebel legends like Graham Canty, Brian Cuthbert and Con Coonahan have all been involved in the drawing of the plans on which the Cork County Board will vote at their next meeting on January 29th.
It's good. It's been long overdue. They have the second highest number of registered GAA players in the country, and the general word from everybody that you respect down there is that things have been mismanaged and there has been no plan for too long. So we'll see how it all transpires. Meanwhile, there's football this evening.
There is indeed. Nigel Clough aiming to mastermind a League Cup giant killing of one of his former sides tonight. He takes League One outfit Burton Albion to the Etihad to face the holders and reigning Premier League champions Manchester City in the first leg of their semi-final. With the scale of their task pretty clear, Clough says he was wary of overburdening his players in the run-up to tonight's game.
We don't go into detail about things because that will frighten the life out of them, seriously. They know, they watch Match of the Day every week, they know how good they are, and we'll approach it exactly the same way as when we've played the Championship clubs and Burnley in previous rounds of the competition. We can't do too much on them because we don't know what team they're going to play for a start, so I think that helps in some way. So just to focus on ourselves, the players, do our jobs, and hopefully they'll have a terrible night. Which is going to take for something to happen in our favour. They're certainly going to have an off night. I can imagine all three teams, when the draw was made, it's almost a bye for them into the final, you know, and all they want is us. And especially when they've got so many big games, because they know they won't have to put the team out. Tottenham and Chelsea, they're going to have to put, you know, good teams out to play each other against us. They knew that they probably didn't have to do that, so... it's almost a bye for them.
Yeah, with that said, City have actually put out a pretty strong side. Arjen Muric starts in goal, as he has done in each of the previous rounds so far for City. They've then got a back four of Kyle Walker, Nicolas Otamendi, Eric Garcia and Alexander Zinchenko. It's from that point on that things get scary for Burton, with Ilkay Gundogan, David Silva and Kevin De Bruyne making up their midfield, and a front three of Leroy Sané, Riyad Mahrez and Gabriel Jesus.
They're going to kill them.
Yeah.
You could draw a Venn diagram in terms of preparation that would have Nigel Clough, his dad, maybe Martin O'Neill, maybe Roy Keane in there as well. Not too much detail.
Yeah, I had a short loan spell at Derby towards the back end of my career. Yeah, I liked working under him. And the thing he said at the top there just rang true. I don't go into detail. He didn't go into detail. Day to day was very much drills, not necessarily working on a game plan towards a team that following weekend. That's how it was.
Did he have a coach under him doing that?
Nigel. No. It was very much, as I say, drills. If you're lacking goals and the team wouldn't have been necessarily scoring goals, we would have worked on forward play. Right. But it wouldn't necessarily be
their right back is vulnerable.
No, that's it. We never worked on team shape, never worked on set plays to an extent that occasionally you would do thrown in, but it wouldn't necessarily be a regular thing where, you know, every Thursday, Friday you're working on team shape and set plays and working on a formula to go and beat that particular team you're playing at the weekend. No, it wouldn't have been that.
He's had a decent career though, hasn't he?
He's done very well. I've just said this, I mean, it's lower league. He did great with Burton initially when they were non-league side. He got them on the verge of promotion, but he left to go to Derby. They ended up getting promoted when he wasn't at the club. He left around Christmas, I think.
They went up to the Championship ultimately.
Yeah. But they... No, he wasn't...
Not with him there.
No,
but they went,
no.
He kind of set those wheels in.
Yeah, he left when they... I think they were about 20 points clear. They nearly blew it, actually, after he'd gone. Mm-hmm. But he went to Derby, did well, and then he's gone back to Burton, and he kept them in the Championship, which... The budget that Burton would have compared to other Championship clubs, that was a phenomenal achievement.
So, you know, it's interesting because so much of the talk about Martin O'Neill was not working on team shape. You've played under managers, so Nigel Clough being one of them, who might have had the more Brian Clough type approach. And then you've played under the total opposite, as in Giovanni Trapattoni.
Yeah.
Jumps to mind. Did it make a massive difference when you were on the pitch in a Nigel Clough type team approach where shape hadn't been worked on? Generally, pretty quickly, could 11 pros out there get themselves into a decent shape without having worked on it? Or was there a massive difference, a massive improvement in things when you had worked on it under the likes of Trapattoni?
It's a great one. I think, do you know what it is? I think when you're at the level League One and League Two, if you've got the players, invariably, if you've got players in that league, you have a big striker, invariably League One and Two, you can go direct into him, you get players playing off, you've got a set formula. With the players, it's easy, I think, at that level, or easier at that level. That's that. You know, I came through the system, started out in league in Division 3 as it was at the time. Yeah. So I've played every division, so you can kind of know what it was like in League 1 and League 2. Definitely, you can get away with it at that level. I think the higher you go, I think there's definitely an element now as well. And added to that, young players coming through every academy system, going from League 2 to Premier League, are getting shape drummed into them they're 14, yeah. 15. So, in answer to your question, I'd prefer... We've had this chat before when we've been on, Joe, and when Kenny's been on. I prefer somewhere in between. Too much detail overload. It's
as bad as none.
It's as bad as none, but definite... individual details, whether it's a collective back four work, team shape to an extent, the 1-11, yes, where you're working on that to an extent, but definitely individual detail where you're getting that little minor thing from managers and coaches are great. Mm. And then the rest of it, certainly at that level you can get away with it, but certainly higher up you go, no, I think you have to work on the specifics. Certainly set plays, key set plays, everyone knows the role within that. Mm. Team shape on build-up play, patterns of plays and things like this, little things like that, definitely.
Yeah, okay. Ultan Dolan, then, good news.
Yeah, he's the second major Connacht player to sign a contract extension in the past 24 hours. He has signed a new deal which will keep him at the sports ground until the summer of 2021. The news comes barely 24 hours after Jack Carty signed a similar deal. Tottenham have confirmed today that they won't move into their new stadium until the start of March at the earliest. It's because of safety concerns.
March 2020 or March this year?
White Hart Lane, somebody suggested.
They might as well write the season off, aren't they, really? They might get one big day this season, that'll be it, wouldn't it?
I wonder, is there an element of where switching mid-season mightn't be the best thing to do? It'll take them a few games to get used to it.
Hoffenheim did it in Germany, and right. I remember it cost them. They went from their small, compact stadium that they'd gone up through the leagues with, and then moved over to their massive, brand spanking new all-seater, lovely new stadium, and struggled a little bit after they went into it.
If they're in the midst of a title race.
I was going to say that. Champions League, say they're still in the Champions League, and I don't know.
They're used to Wembley. Yeah. They have a good record at Wembley. Obviously, they should be fine going back to White Hart Lane, but...
Warnock's had a go at it as well, because he said that it might be an advantage for certain teams who might be more up for going for Wembley or might be more up for going to White Hart Lane. Mm. And there's some teams have played Tottenham, say, when it gets to that point, if they do move over, some teams have played them at Wembley and might have had an advantage
still
or disadvantage.
There's still that buzz of going to Wembley, though, isn't there, for the players as well?
If you're Huddersfield or if you're one of the struggling sides, you're going to Wembley and you're like, Christ, we're at Wembley.
But also, you're buzzing because you're going to the new stadium at White Hart Lane, aren't you?
Yeah.
Equally.
Not as much of a buzz, I'll be honest. Maybe. I'll take Wembley over.
The novelty. Stevie O'Donnell.
Yeah, he's set to retire from playing and join Dundalk's coaching staff. The midfielder has seen his past two and a bit seasons at Oriel Park ravaged by injury, most recently by a broken leg. Dan McDonald reporting this evening that O'Donnell will work as opposition scout for Dundalk, and he also could be involved in player recruitment as well.
A really good player. And you can tell he was a great leader as well on that team.
Yeah, very good footballer. Excellent footballer. Great to watch over the years as well. So I think you're taking him out. I mean, it's funny. You wonder when you're taking someone of his character from the dressing room and
and Stevie, Kenny.
Yeah. What will become of the side? And again, hopefully they do well, and hopefully, you know, we'll see Dundalk at the level they've been at in the last two or three years. Hopefully we'll see them qualifying for Europe again. But you're losing two big characters, massive characters, and I never played alongside him. Having watched him play, I did a bit with him on, it was on TV3 last year. Mm. And you can see in him definitely a coaching mind within him as well. And I liked him. I liked him a lot, yeah.
He's got one of those brains. You could see it even when he was playing for Bowles. He kind of has that couple of extra seconds in his head.
Has to play for, to get a mention of Bowles, didn't he?
When you think Stevie O'Donnell, you think Bowles.
Yeah.
Played in Champions League qualifier. But he had that kind of extra couple of seconds in his head to kind of think and pick out a pass and to dictate the play more than...
How old is he now, Rich?
So early 30s, I think.
He's young. He's been unlucky with injuries.
Yeah. Jimmy Dunn, meanwhile, will spend the rest of the season on loan at Sunderland. The Republic of Ireland under-21 defender has spent the first part of the season with Hearts in the Scottish Premiership, Joe, before being recalled to parent club Burnley in the last few days. Sunderland also looking to push through a permanent deal for the Wigan striker, Will Grigg. The McKenna Cup semi-final lineup is to be decided tonight. Holders Donegal welcoming Cavan to Ballybuffet, where the winners will be guaranteed a place in the last four. Armagh and Monaghan, they meet at the Athletic Grounds, while Tyrone know a draw against Fermanagh will be enough to secure secure their place in the semi-finals. World Cup winner Benjamin Pavard will join Bayern Munich in the summer. The Bundesliga giants confirmed the transfer from VfB Stuttgart today. Pavard will begin a 5-year deal at the Allianz Arena on July 1st and will cost Bayern €35 million. Meanwhile, Bayern director of sport Hasan Salihamidzic has formalised their interest in Chelsea winger Callum Hudson-Odoi. Salihamidzic quoted as saying, the 18-year-old, he has the qualities that fit our team. He can dribble and he has a drive towards goal. He has lots of potential.
Well, Pavard scored for me the goal of the World Cup as well.
That cut across volley.
The one that wasn't shinned, the actual beauty.
Yeah.
What was the French goal that was shinned, but people said it was amazing?
Which one was that?
Was it French?
I don't know.
There was one.
I remember the Pavard one. Is he bounces, bounces
yeah,
high, and he comes onto it from right back, isn't he? He just
cuts across it.
Brilliant goal.
Oh, I've just looked at it here.
Changes the trajectory of the ball.
Yeah. Here's the moment.
That's the angle, isn't it? That's the perfect angle.
Here's the cut.
It.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's terrible radio, but it was just worth then 10 seconds to watch that.
Yeah. It's not a clean strike, mind.
But he's deliberately not made it clean. He just cut across
No, I think he's trying to hit it. He's trying to hit the ball.
If he hits that clean, it goes wide.
Yeah.
He's done there is he's put a bit of backspin on it to see it whip inside that far post.
I don't think that's meant how he's done it. I think it's a slight miss hit.
We're talking about a €35 million World Cup winner here, Kev.
No.
He knows what he's out there.
He's tried to strike the ball cleanly and he's just got under the ball and cut it. It's a great goal, amazing goal.
And do you not think he deliberately got under it because of the way his body shape was? No,
definitely not. He's just tried to get a clean strike. He's just trying to hit it nicely, but it's not a clean strike.
He's overdone it.
It's not a clean strike.
That's why we can't have nice things.
No, we'll bow to you. The YouTube video I clicked on there has gone into all the best goals of the World Cup. So the Messi one where he takes it on his thigh and then finishes it here as well. That was outrageous.
Classic. Yeah. It's what, 6-7 months ago now, that, isn't it?
Joe's basically pitching himself to do the compilation video for the next European Championships or something like that. And then in round two.
Number five.
Lionel Messi did.
What was the best goal you saw in person at the World Cup?
Oh.
Did you get any good ones?
Do you know what? I was actually thinking this the other day. I can't even remember.
You were off your head for most of it.
That is libelous.
No.
As hell.
I didn't touch it. I didn't.
Sue the hoop off him, Kev.
I didn't do anything when I was in Russia, Joel.
Definition of a guilty laugh there, Kev. You can't work past it.
Excited.
I can't remember the games I did now. I don't even remember what I did. I can't remember where I was.
Here, you're not helping me here.
I can't remember. Generally, I can't remember.
Hashtag content.
You can't remember.
Yeah.
I think I can remember what games you were at.
Can you?
No.
In Kev's defence.
I was at Russia-Spain that finished 0-0 and it went to penalties. That was like my highlight.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was my highlight of the World Cup.
Oh, that was exciting.
Oh, that was great to do.
It was a World Cup. I was just thinking back on this.
If I look back to the fixtures, I'll tell you. But
there was a couple of...
We'll do a recap in the football show of your World Cup.
Well, there was
a couple
of those recap shows thing on RT over the Christmas. And it was like... You think back on it from a distance, and I don't know if there were that many remarkable games in that World Cup.
Were there one or two?
What?
I feel like it was a great World Cup, though.
Oh, no, that was a great World Cup.
Wasn't it?
Richie, I thought it was it was...
You can't name one game you were at, though.
I know.
That's a worry, Kev.
I'll tell you where I was.
Don't say the final.
I wasn't working, but I got a ticket for the first game. So it was...
Russia
against Saudis, was it? Russia against Saudis.
They won 3-0, did they?
Cheryshev scored that cracker when he's coming off the left-hand side on his right foot and he's just bent it into the top corner.
Okay.
And his other one as well, where he's dinked it over the lad, where he's in the 6-yard box, or he's in the penalty area.
That was a good one.
And he goes to shoot, and he's just, like, ever so slightly dinked it over the lad as he goes to ground. And then he just kind of finishes it. That was a good goal as well.
I must say, I do remember it as a great World Cup, but no games are...
The further removed
first
you
game
get
of the
from
season,
it.
Spain against Russia against Portugal. What a game. 3-3. Ronaldo hat-trick.
I enjoyed the England games.
Yeah, it's coming home now, Jesus.
I did.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Was it Colombia they played?
Yeah.
There was killings.
Yeah.
That was a great game.
I was in here in the studio with Andrew for that one. Yeah.
They were great.
That was good.
Great days.
Stop. The final was actually a weird game, but I thought interesting game. Croatia and France. Mm.
Oh, yeah,
Croatia played well. And
it was a great World Cup. Yeah. I enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it.
What was the other semi? Who did France
Belgium.
Beat?
Belgium got beat off France.
Belgium beat Brazil. Didn't they?
Yeah, Belgium. Croatia beat Brazil. No.
I thought Belgium. Belgium beat Brazil. Belgium did beat Brazil.
If it was that memorable, you'd have all the details knocked in your head.
Belgium got to the semis. Belgium beat England in the 34th place playoff.
Yeah, but they beat Brazil and then lost in the semi-final, as I remember.
Who?
Belgium.
No, Belgium.
Beat Brazil in the quarterfinals.
Beat Brazil in the quarters. Sorry. I thought you meant who got to the semi.
I've been told they have to wrap up. I don't know if it's because we're out of time.
France beat Belgium in the semis, and then they beat England in the third and fourth place.
Probably have a suggestion why you're being told to wrap up.
Yeah, it's not great radio, is it?
No, okay. We'll have a quick look between now and 9 o'clock and then chart your World Cup experience.
I can even tell you what happened in World Cup 98 verbatim right now. That was a good World Cup.
The mad thing, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so before we get to Padraig Harrington, a chance for you to win a really good prize, because all this week we're giving away entries to Quest Adventure Races around Ireland. A grand prize on Friday of a weekend in Kenmare for two people. Quest Adventure Races involves running, cycling, kayaking across various distances in brilliant locations, and the good news is there are routes to suit all levels and abilities. You can choose from a Quest race in Kenmare, Glendalough, Killarney or Lough Derg. To be with the chance of winning, just identify your mystery voice. Who knows, preparing the right food is key for keeping that fitness sharp.
I have no problem at all in making a good sandwich.
Text your name and answer. You should get that to 5316.
That's tricky.
No, come on.
I'd probably get it thinking about that one now.
There was an ad. This was an ad.
I have no problem at all in making a good sandwich.
Text your name and answer 53106 for 30 cents. We'll announce the winner later on in the show. All with thanks to Quest Adventure Races. You can find out more at questadventureseries.com. So we'll be talking Ranger Celtic with Tom English in the football show. We've Eddie O'Sullivan and Stephen Ferris after 8 o'clock. And up next, he's going to be Ryder Cup captain at Whistling Straits in 2020. Padraig Harrington on the way.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.